We will move to park informational items number 14, Palisades update.
Mr. Chair, this is Scott Simpson, Director of the Parks Division. I believe we have Luke Dreckman on the line here someplace, and Luke is going to be giving the update on some of the progress that we made down at Palisades, some of the plannings that we've, and other things we've done this year, and then maybe, I don't know, Luke's going to touch on maybe some of the plans for next year as well, but I'll turn it over to him to provide that update.
Yeah, thank you, Scott, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, and Secretary Hepler. Can everybody hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
Good deal. Yeah, I'm going to go over the Palisades update here with our expansion plan. Chris does have a PowerPoint for us that we'll go through, and we'll have some questions at the end if you guys have, or answers at the end if you guys have any questions. So as you're all, a lot of, most of you are probably aware of the expansion and the design. I'll give you a little bit of a background anyhow. We added 268 acres to the existing 157, dang near doubling our property with intentions of developing and expanding. To accomplish that, we had to work with four different landowners. The foundation worked with four different landowners, acquired the property, and in turn donated it over to the Game Fish and Parks. You can see the four different landowners that were there and the different properties that they owned. That small purple portion, the Joseph Gorton, was a very kind of important piece as well, just to eliminate a pinch point that we had in the park, really opened it up and gave us some more options on how to develop this. So with those properties acquired, you can see here the expansion, the new property that we have. The red outline there is the original park prior to the expansion. You can see there the good chunk of property that was acquired, and about doubling our little over doubling our size there. So we'll jump into the development. As most of you are probably aware, it is a 5-year phased approach, which will include a new entrance. We'll close the existing one down, and the new entrance will have a welcome center. This will provide a variety of recreational opportunities there. You can see there's 10 of them listed. There's a potential of even more than that we can develop with this property. With that new welcome center too, you know, it'll allow for full-time staff to be at the entrance and help out our seasonal staff and interact with our public more, and have them more readily available for any questions or issues that arise. We can go to the next one here. It'll show kind of the layout. That's some of the recreation opportunities that we had. This is kind of a layout, conceptual plan of where everything would go. You can see this property, it does follow along the Split Rock Creek, which is a very kind of vital role, and a lot of things are centered around that. For water recreation, fishing, kayaking, and you can also see there we'll include camping and archery, disc golf and stuff as well. So with the land and the water, there's just a large variety of different activities that we can incorporate into this property. So kind of phase one, going into that, what we were going to be doing and what we have done. We had some kind of priorities that we laid out. It would be cleaning up the property, some fences, some iron and scrap that was left behind, developing the habitat, planting shelter belts, and constructing kind of the road system are kind of what our first phase one priorities and goals would be. So the first one would be native grasses. This spring, early summer, there in May, we drilled in native grasses to all the different areas you can see in the map below. We used two different types of covers, a winter cover and a nesting cover. The winter cover includes more strictly grasses, taller grasses, your big blue stems, and to provide that extra thermal winter cover for deer, turkeys, pheasants. The nesting cover is a lot more shorter season grasses with your little blues, is incorporated with some flowers and forbs to allow for foraging and easy access of those newly hatched chicks. So you can see we did 21 acres of the winter cover and 18 acres of the nesting cover. And those are kind of the layout there. Here are some pictures of what it looked like after, you know, midsummer there, mid to the end of summer. Really took off well. All of our habitat work that we did kind of come out better than what we expected, especially with more of a drought year. But everything turned out really well and provided some good cover there. Next picture has some more aerial views kind of it. You can see there, looks like there's a dividing line on the bottom edge of the picture there a little bit that runs through the center. You can see that's the two different types of grasses that we used. Just above that, actually, where the harvested oat field is, it's a little bit greener. That is a oat field that we'll kind of show a little bit on a map later. But that is where the future campground is expected to go. The next one has just another aerial of some habitat we put in, some grasses. That stretch there has kind of all three types of habitat that we put in. The last one's going to be pollinator plots, which is on the very end of that picture, so you can't see it that great there. But we'll get into some more of that here next. So the pollinator plots are kind of the third habitat on top of the winter mix and the nesting mixture. Pollinator plots, we planted three of them, roughly acre in size. These are strictly real short grasses just to help keep the weeds down, but primarily wildflowers, over 35 different species of wildflowers, and that all provides essential food for young pheasants, turkeys, and then the bees and butterflies and all your other pollinators as well. So again, these turned out really well. You'll see some pictures here. First year planting, we did plant them this spring around that May time as well. Variety of flowers and colors came up, like I said, a lot better than expected. Just some more pollinators there. The last kind of the habitat is the shelter belt. You can tell in the map there, we planted these along the boundary of the new property to accommodate for some screening from private property. These shelter belts had over 30 different species to accommodate for diversity. So hopefully if we ever run into anything similar to the Emerald of Ash Borer that we have going on now, we don't lose our whole shelter belt. We can kind of wean some of those out and plant some new and ensure lasting shelter belts there. So far we did that. We did plant that this spring over roughly 1,400 trees there. Our deciduous trees really had great survival, probably better than we thought there. Our coniferous trees, our pines, cedars, and spruces, you know, those didn't do quite as well as we were probably hoping, but nonetheless, some of them did survive. And some of those ones that did not, we plan to go back this following spring here and replace some of them to get those to a full shelter belt status. have some pictures here. This is one of the shelter belts there. You can kind of see there, they're part of the oats field off to the left there that was harvested. And then the shelter belt is along that fence line for the surrounding property of the row crop there. Some more pictures. Like I said, these really grew quite well this year. Leafed out very well. Got some good growth on them. A lot better than I kind of anticipated as well. So we did have a lease on the new property this year. One of the leases. We did 40 acres of oats. This is primarily where the campground was going to be. The campground, you know, was we're hoping that would have came in later this fall here. So we wanted to keep the weeds at bay before we did some work and everything. So we thought we'd lease it out and get some use off the property that way. Again, that lease area there, the primary blue area, kind of on the bottom up portion of that, is where the campground will go. So this is kind of the current status of where everything is planted. You can see everything in the lime, kind of the lime green color, is currently all tied up in lease and will be going forward as well. That's why we only have partial of the land developed and work done to it. But everything that we did have available to us, we have done some sort of work to this year in for restoring prairie and prepping for the campground as well. The lease going forward, you can see in the lime green, we will be bringing our road system in. That's why it looks kind of odd shaped for the grazing lease. The road system will kind of be following that portion where it's not in a lease. So we took that out so that way we have the opportunity to develop that, put in the road system, and then he'll have the opportunity to graze the rest of that as well. So that is kind of the habitat and the grazing and our leases and everything. We were going to be working on the road system. That the engineers and are working on their final designs and a cost analysis. They hope to have that everything put together and have a bid out by March, and then a contract in place to put the road system in April, with 2021 being a construction year and being done by November or when the ground freezes there. That's kind of what we had going on this year, kind of just looking ahead to the following year, their phase two, and starting next July. Have some priorities set out there as well. We're looking at completing the main road system, incorporating another 15 acres of habitat. Mostly that is going to be where the oats lease was this year. We'll be converting some of that back to habitat and native grasses. We'll be planting more specimen trees. Those are the 5 to 6 footers, not the conservation grade that were in the shelter belt, but we'll be planting actual some specimen trees around the area. We're going to bring in the utilities, the water, electric, telecommunications, and that'll be kind of following in along the road system. So they'll work hand in hand to get those in, and then once we get the campground footprint in, we'll hopefully be able to get the electric to the pedestals on those sites as well. Depending on the bid amounts that come back to put the roads in, we only have so much money to spend. The budget's only so large. So depending on the bids, we're hopeful that we can put a comfort station in with the campground as well and get that rolling so that we, by the 2022, we'll have a fully functional campground, and we can open that up, you know, in 2023 and start providing those camping opportunities. With that, that's kind of all I have. I'd be open for questions if you guys, if any of you have any.
Any questions?
Commissioner Sharp here.
Yes, Commissioner Sharp.
on the map, it appears there's still a couple acre piece that we don't own. Is that an accurate reflection of that map?
Yes. So any one of those will probably work just as a map.
Right there, yep.
So kind of right there by that top orange square, is that where you're looking?
Yes.
So that is actually, there's actually three, that is private property. There's actually three private residences that are there. So the new park actually kind of surrounds three private residences.
Okay, I would guess they all chose not to want to sell.
I was not part of the negotiations or anything. I don't know if they were approached or if they chose not to. I could not answer that for you.
Does it appears that they accessed that property using the state road?
So 255th there, the yellow line kind of goes on it. That is a township road. It's also the same road that takes you into the entrance of the current park. So it is a township road that they come off of. The new property that we did have also, you know, it seems that it's surrounded. There was a easement that allows us access to the new property off of the east side of those private residences.
And did I understand we're going to change the park entrance, so we're not going to be utilizing that? Because wasn't that a joint, kind of a joint maintenance agreement between the department and the township at one time?
Yes, it was. The agreement that the township had with the state to maintain the road actually expired in 2018, and they're kind of working on to see where that's headed. We don't know where that'll go or end up for sure, but as of right now, that agreement has expired.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any other questions, comments?
Commissioner Jensen, if I can just maybe add on to what Commissioner Sharp asked, Luke. Those three private residences in that in-holding, we really felt that it wasn't necessary to look at a purchase at this time. It's really difficult to even see those from the park with our access moving, our entrance moving. They're just kind of out of sight, out of mind, even though the map almost makes it look like they're right in the heart of things. But the way the land is and the topography, rather than spend a lot of money on trying to purchase those, which we don't even know if we could, we just didn't go that direction at this time.
And I support that wholeheartedly through the chair.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Not.